Another aviation manufacturer faces a multi-million dollar lawsuit award. It's probably not a good week to be Bobby Sturgill. And you know times are tough when Southwest tightens its belt. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 21st, 2008. We're sorry to report it's happened again. After a week-long presentation by its attorneys, the family of Monroe, Louisiana businessman Robert Young has convinced a jury to punish Teledyne Continental to the tune of $4 million in the 2002 crash of Robert's Beach Baron, which appears to have had nothing to do with the engines. Young was reportedly scud running under a 500-foot overcast when, according to witnesses, he spun into the ground from about 300 feet with the engines still running. The NTSB ruled the probable cause was, quote, the pilot's failure to maintain control of the airplane while maneuvering, resulting in an inadvertent stall spin, unquote. Juries, of course, are stocked with citizens selected for their lack of aviation knowledge and are not allowed to read or hear NTSB cause reports, supposedly to keep the pressure off investigators. Meanwhile, your next aircraft just went up in price. That is, assuming companies don't decide it's just too expensive to build engines at all, as Parker Hannifin did with vacuum pumps after a similar groundless jury award a few years ago. Faced with mounting criticism of FAA inspection policies, on Friday, U.S. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters announced a series of tweaks to the agency's safety inspection program. She also announced that a new independent review team will recommend improvements to the current aviation safety system. Peters says the FAA will begin requiring senior-level officials within the agency's field offices to be accountable for accepting voluntary safety disclosures from airlines and will revise ethics rules to require a cooling-off period before FAA inspectors can work for an airline they used to oversee while at the agency. Saying that no one was served by the American debacle, the secretary said she is asking both the FAA and American Airlines for assessments within 14 days of what happened, why it happened, and what could have been done differently. She says DOT's Office of Aviation Safety Enforcement will look into whether airlines have adequate plans in place to accommodate passengers should a carrier have to abruptly ground its aircraft. Southwest is often mentioned as an example of how an airline should be managed. So if Southwest is having difficulty in the current economy, we should probably pay attention. On Thursday, Southwest announced its record streak of profitability continued in the first quarter of the year. The airline earned $34 million. But the Dallas Morning News reports that's about where the good news ended. For starters, that $34 million is down from $93 million Southwest earned in the same period in 2007. CEO Gary Kelly says the second quarter looks favorable overall for the airline, but high fuel prices continue to worry him. To further compensate for the less than favorable conditions, Southwest also plans to trim its growth plans further in 2008 to about a 2-3% increase in capacity for the year. The airline had planned to take delivery of 28 new Boeing 737-700s this year. The carrier will now accept only 14 of those planes, deferring the other half another 7 years. Another 12 planes, scheduled for delivery in 2012, will be deferred into 2013 through 15. The U.S. Airways captain, who accidentally discharged his gun in the cockpit of an airliner in flight, is being fired by the airline. Captain James Langenhahn was suspended from the airline 3 days after the March 22nd incident, which happened on an Airbus A319 descending through 8,000 feet to land in Charlotte, North Carolina. No one in the cockpit was injured, but the bullet did leave a hole in the inner and outer fuselage skins. The outer hole was visible under the port side cockpit window. Langenhahn is a member of the Transportation Security Administration's Federal Flight Deck Officer Program, which allows pilots to carry loaded firearms as a protective measure against terrorism. The pilot told authorities he was stowing the .40-caliber semi-automatic H&K when it fired. A spokesman for the Federal Flight Deck Officers Association told CNN it will fight the decision by U.S. Airways to fire Langenhahn. The TSA is investigating the case and will no doubt want to know why Langenhahn had the gun out of its holster in the first place. Up next on ANN, three space travelers survive a rough re-entry. An Alaska Airlines 737 is evacuated for smoke in the cockpit. And a Missouri skydiving company loses two staffers. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 21st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. We tend to think of spaceflight as routine, but it holds the potential to be anything but. The Associated Press reports South Korean bioengineer Yi So-yeon, American astronaut Peggy Whitson, and Russian flight engineer Yuri Melnichenko are in satisfactory condition after a 10G ballistic atmospheric reentry in a Russian Soyuz capsule just before 5 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Whitson and Melnichenko were returning from roughly 6 months on the International Space Station. Yi had been there only since April 10th and is South Korea's first astronaut. Russian space officials were at a loss to explain how the normally accurate calculations for a returning spacecraft could have left the capsule 20 minutes late and 260 miles off its landing target in northern Kazakhstan. A similar error caused another steep ballistic re-entry of a Soyuz capsule last October. The three crew members were examined on site by medical officials and were expected to return to Moscow for further evaluation. An Alaska Airlines first officer was treated for possible smoke inhalation after an unknown problem in the cabin of an older 737 after landing Thursday morning at SeaTac Airport. Five crew members and 103 passengers were evacuated using emergency slides. What is known at this point is that Flight 529 was delayed 10 minutes coming in from Los Angeles after an indication of a problem with the plane's nose gear. After a low pass to allow tower controllers to visually confirm the gear was down, the plane made an uneventful landing, but what was called a hazy smoke appeared in the cockpit and the captain ordered the evacuation. The FO did not require hospitalization. Two passengers reportedly did request medical attention after the evacuation. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer says the airline and the FAA are investigating. Two veteran skydivers died on Saturday when their plane crashed just west of Mount Vernon, Missouri. 36-year-old Marnie Fuller and 32-year-old Jennifer Collins were staff members at Freefall Express Skydiving, based at the Mount Vernon Airport. Four other skydivers aboard the plane parachuted safely to the ground. The Springfield News-Ledger reported the unidentified pilot was listed in critical condition Saturday night in a hospital in Springfield. The accident was reported about 4 p.m. local time on Saturday. Freefall Express reported an FAA team was en route from Texas, and the Missouri Highway Patrol said the National Transportation Safety Board will also participate. The company, which says it's been in business since 1995, offers courses in tandem and solo dives from 12,000 feet. Ever since the U.S. Air Force awarded the contract to build its new aerial refueling tanker to partners Northrop Grumman and Eads, politicians at every level of government have threatened to intervene on behalf of Boeing. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports the Pentagon's top acquisition official is warning Congress not to interfere with the decision. John Young, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, told reporters on Friday that moves to withhold funding would create, quote, slippery slopes and dangerous precedents. Quote, it's going to be dangerous to set aside valid source selections on a political basis. Do we have the California delegation kill a program because the Georgia delegation won? I don't know where this stops, unquote. Representative Norm Dix is a Democrat from Washington State, where Boeing has a major manufacturing presence. He's also vice chairman of the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. He threatened on Thursday to propose eliminating money for the tanker. Young responds, quote, if I'm going to demand that certain companies or proposals must win regardless of what they cost, I'm going to disadvantage the taxpayer and warfighter, unquote. The initial contract award is worth $35 billion. Ultimately, the Air Force may order $100 billion in new tankers, but new bidding will be conducted for future project phases. Still ahead, Airbus demonstrates an air traffic innovation. Pratt & Whitney Canada has good news for Montreal. And only the speedy and good-looking need apply. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 21st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The partners of an Airbus-led project called Crystal ITP, for in-trail procedure, successfully demonstrated a new procedure for oceanic airspace that saves fuel and reduces emissions during cruise. As an airliner on a long flight burns fuel and becomes lighter, the altitude at which it will cruise most efficiently rises. If traffic procedures could accommodate a gradual climb during a long flight, fuel could be saved, carbon emissions reduced, and in some cases, more favorable winds found. The demonstration took place in late March using an A340 test aircraft and a Scandinavian Airlines A330 in Icelandic airspace. Iceland is a unique location. Oceanic operations occur within radar coverage, allowing the trial to be conducted safely. A new traffic computer based on ADS-B technology allowed the pilot to receive on his nav display all flight identification and positioning information for surrounding aircraft. It's hoped the in-trail procedure will enable controllers to allow altitude changes with reduced separations, providing more climbing opportunities. Airbus says its testing will aid other similar projects, including one eventually planned for deployment in both European Union and U.S. airspace. Pratt & Whitney Canada announced last week it will concentrate its flight test operations in a new world-class center at Montreal Mirabel International Airport. The new global hub represents an investment of about $90 million. Benoit Brissot, Senior Vice President for Service Centers and Operations, says the facility will handle engines up to 90,000 pounds of thrust. Quote, "We have recently won several competitions to supply engines for new aircraft, and we need to evolve our flight test operations to support this growth," unquote. Flight test operations positions, currently located in Plattsburgh, New York, and Saint-Hubert, Quebec, will be transferred to Mirabel. This means more than 75 highly skilled jobs at the new facility, including test engineers and specialized technicians. Pratt & Whitney Canada will operate two Boeing 747 test aircraft by the time the new flight test facility is complete in the spring of 2009. Montreal Mirabel International Airport is an all-cargo airport located in a non-urban area with a 12,000-foot runway oriented 6-2-4. As the live-action version of the Japanese anime classic Speed Racer debuts on American movie screens, a real-life land speed record attempt appears to acknowledge that the Mach 5 probably would have a hard time getting sponsors if Speed Racer had white hair. 66-year-old Ed Shadle has spent the last 10 years and $150,000 of his own money turning a Boneyard jet fighter into the North American Eagle, a 42,000-horsepower jet car he hopes will retake the land speed record from the Brits. But the London Sunday Times reports Ed says his age is keeping sponsors away, and that's important at $18,000 per run. So what do you need on your resume to apply? Well, age 20 to 40, look like a young Robert Redford, be fearless, and have sharp reflexes. The Times reports the applicants to date have included, quote, two pilots and a handful of boy racers. The field is wide open, unquote. If you're chosen for the job, you'll be chasing an 800-mile-per-hour goal and driving a piece of aviation history. Ed says the 1957 Lockheed F-104 Starfighter, on which the car is based, was once flown by Chuck Yeager. Now it's a 56-foot-long car that runs on solid aluminum wheels, and it'll do 0 to 800 in 20 seconds. Too bad Binford Tools is not a real company. They'd make a perfect sponsor. If you do get the job, don't get too comfortable in the seat. Shadle says once the record is back in North America and the car is proven and sponsors secure, he's not beyond getting back behind the wheel himself to try and better the record. Quote, not a problem. We'll show those young studs this old guy can still lay down a good run, unquote. And finally, one of the more bizarre facets of the public relations disaster that is British Airways Terminal 5 at Heathrow is the recent arrest there of British-born supermodel Naomi Campbell. Hers was among 28,000 bags lost in T5's new automated baggage system, and in the resulting fray, she was arrested on suspicion of assault on a police officer for allegedly spitting on an officer called to forcibly remove her from a plane. British Airways reportedly responded with a lifetime ban, but Naomi recalls things differently. According to E! Online, she says she's boycotting the airline. Quote, someone from BA called me and asked that I return to fly with them, but this will not occur so easily. They didn't find my bag, said it wasn't in the system, and there was a complete disrespect for the passengers. I am not speaking for myself. I am speaking for all those who have been disrespected, unquote. The tantrum-prone fashion star did not say who that someone at BA was who called her. A British Airways spokesman did tell London's Evening Standard newspaper, quote, we are not aware of any pleading phone calls to Ms. Campbell, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about what stabilized approach really means and about choosing a landing site after an engine failure. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.